Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Let me give you a forecast of the future. Now, we have no intention of trying to be a foreteller of things about which we cannot know. Many have proven themselves false prophets by attempting to predict certain future things, and they don't come to pass. But there are some things, however, that we can know because God has revealed them to us. Man, I suppose, has a yearning to know what awaits him, but the old adage, we never know what a day will bring forth, is certainly true. Christ taught us not to be anxious concerning the morrow, but that does not rule out making plans for the future. Christianity looks to the future, doesn't it? God expects us to consider the future and to live today the very best that we can because of the future. God evidently did not intend for us to know everything about the future, however, but there are five events that will necessarily be in the future of every one of us. Now, the details of these events are lacking because those details are not revealed. But we can be confident these five things are going to happen, and there's no guesswork involved in that. It is certain. Number one, from this moment forward, we shall live a portion of life. Well, we've already done that. For how long, we cannot say, but whether it be in terms of moments or hours or days or years or even decades, we shall live life. And why is that so important to remember? Friend, this life is our time to prepare for the life that is yet to come. Someone has coined the phrase, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, taking note from John chapter 14, where Jesus said he had gone to prepare a place for us. There's no second chance after this life. We either prepare now while we live, or we'll face God unprepared. And because life is before us, we should use it in the very best possible fashion. It is not to be spent in indulgence, wasted on self, wasted in sin, seeking the temporal and fleeting nothingness of this life to the neglect of the soul and the welfare of the soul in eternity. Our lives should be lived for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Our lives would be characterized by denying ungodliness and worldly lust and living soberly and righteously and godly. Titus 2 and verse 12. Paul said we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Of course, for life to be lived for Christ, it must be lived in Christ, and we must obey the gospel being baptized into Christ. I cannot tell whether your life will be spent in Christ or not. I can tell you that that is a decision you must make. And your decision vitally affects the other four inescapable events that await us all. Someday you will physically die. That is, the body and the spirit shall be separated, James 2 and verse 26. Nobody escapes that separation, Hebrews 9, 27. There is a time to be born and a time to die, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. And even if we are alive when the Lord returns, we shall be changed and our spirit will leave this body, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Every person, I suppose, thinks at some time or another about when they will die and how they will die and where will they be at that moment and who might be near them. But friend, is the when and the where and the who and the how the most important matter to be considered when considering physical death? Oh, this is an awesome occasion, and it will occur. My dear friend, the day of the Lord will come. The day of death will come. What is the most important matter as we face physical death? Is it not? Are we prepared to die? And as we all shall die, we all shall experience the resurrection. Now here's the part that we go from the materialist who thinks that man is totally material and that he has no spirit, that he's just like a beast of the field. But the Bible clearly teaches that there is more to man than just the body. And it teaches that physical death is not the end of our existence. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Death is but a doorway through which we pass from this life to another. And all will be raised, whether good or bad. Such is the teaching of Jesus in John 5:28-29. 1 Corinthians 15 is that great resurrection chapter. And while there are some questions, many questions, that man can raise about death and raise about the resurrection, for which answers are not revealed, the resurrection from the dead is a matter that is clearly taught. We all have the need to prepare for it. It is in our future. We know not when, but the uncertainty of when in no way affects the certainty that it will be. In following life and death and the resurrection, friend, there will be a judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5:10. Does this reality in your future concern you? Well, it should. Our salvation or our condemnation will have already been determined before the judgment. That determination is made by the life that we live and what we have done regarding Christ. The judgment is not a time of decision, but a time of sentencing and separation for eternity. Matthew 25. At the judgment, the sheep and the goats shall be forever separated. The wheat and the chaff shall be forever separated. The faithful shall hear the sentence, "Well done, enter thou." The lost shall hear the sentence, "Depart." The judgment scene will be so awesome and serious. It will be a time of great rejoicing for some. It will also be a time of great sorrow and panic for others. Nothing else will have mattered if you are condemned and if you are lost. And all the other successes that you might ever achieve pale into insignificance if you can hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And then a fifth thing that is in our future. There is eternity. Unlike time, eternity will have no end. It's limitless. Now, this is beyond the ability of the mind to fully comprehend, since we live in an existence of starts and stops. Eternity, like God, is just forever and ever. We don't fully grasp it. We really will not spend eternity. When you spend something, the implication is that the supply can be exhausted, but there'll be no exhaustion of eternity. We will all exist in eternity. The Bible presents only two places of eternity, and that's heaven and hell. And while the descriptions of the two are lacking in detail, we have enough information to easily determine which one we prefer. Heaven is pictured as a place of joy and peace and rest, the residence of God and all the blessed. No sorrow, no death, no decay, no yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. Nothing but good is there, and purity and righteousness, holiness, and all will be cleansed so they can enter therein. Hell, on the other hand, it's pictured to us as a place of outer darkness and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, of crying and torment and punishment, the second death, the lake of fire and brimstone. And my dear listening friend, the same Bible that tells us about the glories of heaven also tells us about the horrors of hell. How foolish to be willing to believe the reality of one and not accept the reality of the other. Now, this is our future. These five events await us, and from them there is no escape. Nothing in the Bible talks about the rapture or the great tribulation or the 1,000 years reign of Christ on earth and all of that imaginative, speculative, and false theory of premillennialism, but these five things are sure to come. Now, we cannot predict whether you will go to heaven or hell. That's a decision you must make. We can be sure that each will be in eternity in one place or the other. We decide that place for ourselves. We cannot predict whether you'll be saved or lost, but we know that you shall be judged, as will everyone else. We cannot predict whether the tone of your sentence will be happy or sad, but we know that it will be made. We cannot predict whether you will be raised to life or raised to punishment, but we know that all of us shall be raised. Nor can we predict when and where and how you shall die, but we all know that we shall experience the separation of the body from the spirit. And we cannot predict whether you will live life as God wants it lived or not. That's a decision each one must make for himself or for herself. The only way to live pleasing before God is faithfulness in Christ. And the way you live will determine the happiness or the lack of it in the other inevitable events of the future which are before every one of us. When you believe that Jesus is the Christ, will repent of your sins, will confess Christ and be baptized into Christ, and live faithfully in Christ, you have no need of any fear for the future. Regardless of what of the certainties of the future there may be, all will be well with your soul because you are in Christ. And my dear friend, the future is ours to make of it what we will. What will it be with you? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.